Hey guys, this episode has Damien Abraham, lead singer of Fucked Up, returning to our podcast for a second time. We recorded the podcast a little over 2 months ago when Nick and I looked at our schedules and realized we wouldn't have time to do any podcasts for quite a while. So we lined up a string of them: Sean Cullen, Hansi, Gary Texali, Marty Friedman, and Damien was our last one. When Damien Abraham sits on the podcast, there is no prep needed. It's just a free-form discussion about anything and everything. Bring in Nick Flanagan, and you have three guys just talking, going from tangent to tangent, and there's nothing bolted down in terms of discussion. It moves backwards and forwards. It moves from side to side. I couldn't find any place to edit, really. I tried, but I couldn't find any place. But our conversation was moving so fast, it was very hard to anyway. So I implore everyone to stay with it, try and keep up, and I think it's hilarious. It's Damien Abraham, lead singer for Fucked Up, making his second appearance on our podcast, which, in my books, makes him part of the Danko Jones podcast family. We love him. He's great. He's a Much Music VJ. He loves wrestling. So do we. We all love punk rock, and we all love to talk about it. At least this time, we kept the talk more above ground and not so specific to the Toronto music scene or the Toronto punk scene. In other words, I think everyone can follow and listen in. I want to say thanks to Rock Mayak and Ramadan for your comments on iTunes recently. And anyone who's listening to this podcast, if you're digging what you're listening to, please make a ratings or a comment even in your respective iTunes store. It really does go a long way in helping the podcast go from obscurity to getting ranked on iTunes. Although I must say there are podcasts out there with less ratings and less reviews that haven't uploaded an episode in over a year that are ranked higher than us. So what the fuck is up with that, iTunes? I have no idea. This is a special introduction episode because I'm doing this with Olear. See, a lot of people listen to the podcast and they think it's just me and Nick, and they think I'm the tech guy for the podcast. I've said that while we've been recording the episodes, but only a few people know that really behind the curtain, the real wizard of the Oz, so to speak, is Ole, who is putting together all the podcasts together. I don't think I've ever mentioned you ever, have I?
No.
Sorry, man. But him and I are about to go on a journey far away together, and we're going to take our take this podcast with us and try and see if we can nail down some episodes. But more about that in the next episode. Anyways, thank you to Blue Mic Microphones for your Yeti microphones. Thank you so much. Thank you to Skull Candy Headphones for the headphones. And here we go. This is it. This is Damien Abraham making his second appearance on the official Danko Jones podcast. And it starts now. All right, we're on. We're on. The podcast episode has started, and
hell yeah,
we're back. It's happening.
I'm the first repeat.
You are first repeat, sort yes. of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, we did one with Wade McNeil back in December, and then that was computer cat.
Yeah, that's a redo.
Redo.
This is like a repeat. Like right. I'm like the first repeat guest. Like yes. I'm the first one coming back yes. as like another one. If you're subscribing on iTunes, you're like, oh. Damien, I hate again. This guy. I had another week with this guy.
Damn. Or what about just a second time being like, who is this dude?
Who is this guy?
And then be like, I have a bobblehead. Excuse me.
It's not out yet.
Oh, it's not out yet.
I can talk about it. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because I've signed the contract. The ink is dry on that puppy.
Right.
It's going to net me a cool 150 copies of it.
Really?
Yeah, so no, 75 copies. Is it 75?
If you're selling them,
gotta get one.
There's 500. I'll give you guys both one.
Oh, that's
fine. I'm not going to sell. It would feel so weird. Like, where? First of all, where would I sell a bobblehead of me?
Wrestling events?
Yeah, wrestling events. Out front.
You going to wrestling
like G-Money. Do you remember that dude G-Money at concerts?
No.
Twinfold? He was the best hustler I'd ever seen. He was like, you know, do that hip hop thing where you like, where you're like, hey, what's selling up?
You
stuff.
Want CDs? I got all these CDs.
I got all CDs. Wow. Yeah, I got everything. Or like he would be outside the show, like he like Snapcase and the Wu-Tang Clan. Imagine them mixed together, and I would be like, oh.
You'd I would buy like, that stuff.
You know what? I haven't been shit. Able to get the time. I heard all the bands that already sound like Snapcase and Wu-Tang Clan out of my head yet, so I'll wait on that mixtape.
I need a cleanse.
I like your hoodie, and I will buy that. For $30.
But Damien is, I kind of, you know, you and I have talked about it. I kind of want to get a kind of like a podcast family going.
Right. Oh, and well, having I would love to be part Damien, of the
family. Yeah, part of the extended family. So we can call this a real world.
Right.
Well, am I making any sense?
Yeah,
I understand.
Whoa.
I know what you're saying. I'm hip to it.
Yeah,
I'm the fart guy from now on. Yeah, that's my hook.
You're gonna be Patrice O'Neal, basically. This is Opie and Anthony.
You gotta come up with a shtick now. Yeah.
I need a shtick.
You gotta be so hard on women. So.
Most people don't even know who this person is, Nick. Yeah. It's Damien Abraham from Fucked Up. He's back.
We went that long without an introduction. That's a teaser before we. That's a lead
super
in.
Teaser.
To quote the movie Poltergeist, they're back.
Yes, but it's just him. I am Damien Abraham from the band.
There's fucked a lot of movies.
Effed up.
Eefed up.
No. We could say fucked up.
Fucked you.
It's a podcast.
Can I just...
Nick is illegally licensing this to a market where he has to censor it.
Yeah, would you be mad if it turned out I was like selling CDRs of this podcast on the street outside of shows?
No, I would videotape it and put it on YouTube.
Yo, what's up? I got podcasts.
You're driving in Cambodia and there's giant billboards with you guys on it. You're like, where the hell did that come from?
I would love Indonesians to start really responding to this podcast, and I think they will. We all know any musician worth their salt gets at least one email from an Indonesian person in their career.
I will definitely say that I have – Indonesia is the one place – that we have never been as a band that I get consistent kids writing me up on Twitter, hitting me up on Twitter.
It's also the kind of place you'll get someone emailing you and they'll say like, hey, I want to just make a tape of your band. Is that okay?
I kind of always like, I always love that idea that like one day I'm going to go to these countries and be able to buy a bootleg tape of my band.
It's
like the dream.
Yeah, it is a dream.
How many people have fucked up tattoos that you know of?
Maybe 100.
Because you got a symbol.
We have a symbol. That was like that smartest thing we ever did. Boom.
Get a symbol, buddy. Who owns the rights? Halachuk.
Probably Halachuk. I gotta sign him over the packaging for the bobblehead, too.
Oh, okay.
What about you? What's the Danko Jones tattoo, right? My love is bald, tattooed on their bald head.
Well, we're the best tattoo I can show you guys later was this guy had a Danzig skull on the back, a back tattoo, and then he had my lyrics at the bottom of it.
Whoa, that's crazy. Awesome!
So yeah, that was pretty heavy. I tweeted that photo.
You know what you should also get above it where it says Danzig on the record, Danko.
We had
in Danzig font.
We had a very limited edition series of shirts with the. Instead of Danzig, it said Danko.
That's awesome. IFC does them with film directors, and they do metal logos with film directors. And
I have one.
The Herzog Danzig.
I have that one.
That's the famous
one.
I also have one that says Danza, and it's a picture of Tony Danza's face.
That was an internet meme that I recall being really into for a while there.
And then there's the one with the Misfits, and it just says drug free.
I've seen that. That was done by Bridge 9 Records.
Oh, really?
I know them as a message board.
It's a very popular message board, but it's also a label that put out No Warning featuring Ben Cook from Fucked Up on vocals.
Young Governor. There is a connection.
Comes back to me, gentlemen. Find a way to bring it always
just
back
to
me.
I know of two Brutal Knights tattoos out there, one of which I think they both have lyrics on them or song titles.
Brutal Knights, who played with
Fucked Up. Who played with Danko Jones, who played... headlining shows also.
We played with Danko Jones in the sense that we were in the same vicinity, but we were on a much smaller stage at a much earlier time.
Do you remember our tour together?
Absolutely. In California?
In California, where... can I tell this tale?
Absolutely, I think so.
That's like a really dumb question to ask on a podcast.
Well, especially because neither of us know what that tale is.
It's really not even much of a tale. Okay, now I've ruined it even further.
It's going to suck.
But we went, it was our first tour, and we were recording our first record, our first LP in California, and we decided to do this tour around with our friend's band, Western Dark, and we went on the tour, and it was such a bummer tour. It was like the worst tour. It was like the classic first tour.
And Fucked Up tried to get on one of the shows, yeah. And we got told we weren't allowed to play. We tried to get on your San Francisco show.
The Bottom of the Hill show?
Yeah, we weren't allowed to play.
Oh, yeah, there were a billion bands on
that. Oh, sorry, Nick. Yeah. Probably exactly what they told us back then. Sorry, guys, there's a billion bands on the bill. It's totally full.
You wouldn't have even wanted to play.
You wouldn't want to play.
No, and we weren't even involved in the, like, full setup of it. That was that band, the San Francisco show we played was with...
Well, because Western Dark was the dude from CPC Gangbang,
no,
right?
No, it was dude from... Western Dark was Aaron, who plays in Dirty Ghost now. And it was this guy from Zen Gorilla.
Oh, okay.
I love Zen Gorilla.
Yeah, it was that dude, one of the dudes from
Zen Gorilla. Were Zen Gorilla on something with Vice, too? Or did they play with Ultra Boozy Experience?
They were on Sub Pop for a couple of records. Yeah, a couple of seconds.
Did they do something with, like, Kozek?
Yeah, I'm sure they did something with everybody did something.
They were a Philly band, right?
They were one of those kinds of bands.
I think I have a soft flyer with them and Shane from Vice's band, Ultra Boozy.
The Ultraviolet Booze Catastrophe, thank you very much.
Boom, look at that.
That Shane Smith, I believe, was Gavin in that band too?
No, I don't think so. Yo, but I asked Gavin when he came on The Wedge about the fight.
What fight?
The fight between when Vice had the beef with who was it?
Tricky Woo.
Oh yeah.
And there was the fight behind the buff tech.
Well, it was Space Shits and Tricky Woo.
Which they had beef too.
Oh my god, this is getting into like hilarious.
This is amazing.
Hilarious,
but this time this insider appeals to everyone because we're talking about huge things like Vice,
Tricky Woo,
and the Space Shits.
But the Space Shits, of course, is King Khan and Barbecue,
and also Roy. No, Roy was in Sex Arena. So
but what's his name? That's
Danny Mark,
that guy who he's now a writer.
Oh,
right?
Adam Gallner, who's a director, writer.
Yeah.
He was in the band too, and
he's in Space Shits.
Yeah, he was in Space Shits.
Was Yachty in Space Shits? Anyway, this is all.
But this is all. This all carries over now.
People know these people.
I love all.
This isn't
guys.
Like last time when we were talking like super nerdy insiders.
Well, we could get even more nerdy too.
But anyway, Game of Thrones. I brought up the fight.
Okay, I've only heard about this, but I didn't think there was a real fight.
There was a fight outside the Buff Tech in Montreal,
which is a club in Montreal.
Well,
it's more of like a bar.
It's like, at that point, it was the hip bar.
Right.
Yeah, it was the only bar. That in Miami.
And they had a fight outside, and Gavin got his ear bitten through.
Wow.
From Andrew, the singer, right? From Tricky Woo?
Yeah, and he said he punched him so hard. He says it's amazing, the story. He's like, and I got all my strength, and I just smashed him as hard as I could in his face, and it just, like, hit him and just bounced off.
Yeah, I'm opening up
Andrew
for
Dixon.
Gavin.
Andrew Dixon, the singer, guitar player from Tricky Woo,
uh-huh.
I've heard he's, like, one tough motherfucker, but you would never know. Yeah. He's a really, really nice guy.
Well, you know, you gotta have balls to put out an album called Sometimes I Cry. It's not... Remember when that came out? Remember when they put out the album Sometimes I Cry? Wow. And everyone was like, that's a bold pronouncement.
Well, after Tricky Woo broke up briefly,
what did they become?
They became
what were they called?
It was Electric Banana or something. Yeah. No, or something like that. And Jonathan Cummings, who used to be in the Doughboys and he's Bionic. He told me Andrew wanted to call it Soft Banana, and he kind of told him, not a good name for a kind of psychedelic rock and roll band.
Soft Banana.
That's what I heard.
Weird soft machine.
It's really interesting. Like, a lot of these kinds of bands in this scene had a lot of beef. I know that Space Shits had a lot of beef with a lot of bands in the Montreal scene.
Yeah, because they were just, like, those guys.
They were just, like, young punk kids.
Yeah, if you met them then, it was like, they were the most...
obnoxious.
Over the top, people in the world.
We never had beef with them.
Same with Deadly Snakes, kind of too. They used to be
Deadly Snakes were such dicks, but they were
totally
different kinds of dicks. Like the Space Shits were the kind of first of all, the Space Shits were just bad behavior guys.
Like I love all these people now. I don't want to. I'm not talking shit.
No.
Like,
these are all my friends.
I'll be quiet.
No, but I was going to say
the Space Shits were just bad behavior guys. I don't want to say that one of them, who is Indian. may have given me my first hit of acid, which I'm not admitting to having taken.
Well, let's see. Let's break that down. The only Indian guy in the spaceships is King Kong.
Well, you're only judging that.
He would also be very proud of this fact. I don't know why we're hiding his identity.
Well, I might have been another member. But they were the guys. Definitely, they were like the drug. I shouldn't be saying this. I really actually don't want to.
Keep talking, Nick. It's going on the
podcast. No, I don't want to put this.
You didn't say that. Like, no, it's not like you're like they were the drug connection when they were like 17.
Dude, we're talking about 10 years ago. Like, no, 15
more
years
than
ago.
That, yeah. Like, believe me, the statute of limitation on selling acid to Nick Flanagan is way up.
Okay. Don't worry. And plus,
not for my parents, man. My dad's going to track him
down.
Oh,
my God.
Hit him with a T-ball bat, you know, in the knees. But, okay.
Stay away from my son.
I'm going to just steer this back to the tour story now. And say we were playing the Wizard with Western DC. Oh, what had happened there?
That was crazy. That was an amazing segue.
The car I saw it because you, to a halt.
You told everybody that you're doing a segue.
Yeah, I did really. Telegraphing is what it's called in the biz. But so the tour blew so crazy hard. It was like we were probably trying to do.
Wait a minute,
favor.
The tour with Vice Magazine and the spaceships.
No, but actually. I want to go back to another.
But anyway,
topic.
If you do want to see that clip, it's on the Wedge website where Gavin talks about the fight.
Muchmusic.com/TheWedge/Gavin.
I think it's muchmusic.com/TheWedge. I don't know. That's where I'm supposed to be telling people to go, not to watch the show because it's on at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sundays.
They keep moving you guys around. Does that feel good?
I think it instills a lot of confidence in the show. Yeah. But I will say this: there are only so many places to move on a chessboard. And some will say that Sunday at 7 a.m. might be one of the last squares left.
Right. Well, you know, who needs alt music?
That's our problem is we're just playing too much alt. We're, like, playing too much Soul Asylum. We're playing too much.
Are you
much,
doing that? Are you doing the intros? Soul Asylum. Are you like, up next we got a band from Seattle called Flop. You might remember this.
Yes. Like, Fluff? They're a great band. We're going to be playing the first thing called the Warped Tour this year.
F-L-U-F?
With Fishbone.
Remember Floof or whatever? Floof, that band?
Yeah.
And, all right, we got some Matt Pond CA coming down the pike for you. This is a classic track from Red Red
The
Meat.
Problem with the Wedge is we only keep it to Sub Pop the lean years. You know, like
so it's Grifters,
Jail. What's up? This is a really special year for the Wedge. We'll be playing a song from each band on the 1996 Sub Pop catalog, including distribution.
The Employee of the Month comp.
Here's Je Suis Un Punk by Les Thugs.
Les Thugs.
Stun it up. Les Thugs.
Amazing.
The only way you can throw that out is if you were listening to that band this morning.
I love that band, too. I got that 45.
I never bought them. They were in the distribution pile. I don't think they were even, like, on Sub Pop. I think it was whatever their label was.
Sub Pop distributing? I thought they did a record.
They were on Sub Pop.
I might be wrong, man.
Like, it's like Sub Pop didn't have some, you know, like, people think of Sub Pop, they're like, oh, there's this label. They signed Nirvana, and then they signed the Shins, and it's, like, the biggest label in the world. But they're like... but then there's that middle.
Well, no, then there was like after Nirvana, it was just like the most. They were like, let's just do all of our friends some serious favors. What was the one? Sandy Duncan's pussy or whatever the one. Sandy Duncan's eye? Was that their name? Or was that the name of a record by them? You know, they had the it was Lubricated Goat.
Lubricated Goat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Railroad Jerk.
Well, that was Touch and Go, I think. That,
no, they were on
Railroad Jerk. Wasn't that on...
Matador.
Matador.
They were on Yorley.
Matador has some...
Lean years,
you know,
too.
Right, some lean years. There's like, you know, it's not all Interpol and Pavement.
Sub Pop. You can't forget the Combustible Edison.
Love Combustible Edison.
Yeah. Like, these are good bands.
My record is signed.
What I'm saying...
We're just sort of naming
them. Yeah, we're like saying... In some cases, these are bands that just didn't have, you know, definitely did not recoup.
Well, when I saw Combustible Edison, and there was 20 other people in the room, so
boom,
it wasn't worth it.
That's 20 other shirts potentially. Probably not though. Probably like
not.
Shirts.
No.
So whatever. Our tour sucked, and then we were so bummed on it, and none of the we were like going on first. It was so weird because like I mean not that Western Dark.
Jesus, going on first, Nick.
Well,
fucking first world.
No, but
problems,
I think it's also one of those things where if you're a hardcore band and you're on tour. You have like people that are going to come and see you, whereas if you're like a
garage
like a garage rock band that doesn't have any records out,
Well, yeah, what were you guys? What
but you guys, did you guys even have a record out?
No. We had this not fun 7-inch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was you it. Guys just were like, let's lose a ton of fucking money.
We were like, let's record. And
oh, yeah. I guess you were recording, yeah.
I mean, it still was a let's lose a ton of money thing, for sure. But
you got to do that. I think every band, yeah. every person we were in recording a rock like band a neat, has to do that.
And like a really weird, like a good studio. I can't remember what it was. It was really like CCR you gotta have and Dell and stuff recorded in San Francisco. It was like in High Road. Like it was like, basically those were all the good rappers recorded.
Well, I think you got to have at least 5 moments.
I thought you said Adele. And I'm like, wow, that's been a really good show.
You said Adele, right?
No, I said Adele. He meant
the funky homo sapien.
Ice Cube's brother.
No, not
Ice
that cousin. Yeah, Ice Cube's cousin. Not the multi-million selling art female artist.
Hello, good to see you guys here.
That's your Adele impression?
Is Adele just walked in?
Like, oh, my God, Adele.
I'll tell you, that is one
Adele is your
chick.
Celebrity exception, right?
Yeah, I think she's cool as shit. I love
she
her.
She seems cool.
And she is like, I met her once, and it was like I went to Matador in is part of Beggar's Banquet, you know, like the huge conglomerate of indie labels.
Yeah.
That is like Excel and stuff, right? Adele's on Excel. So they have an office in London, and above it, there's like an apartment. And we were just in the apartment, like asleep, and, you know, and I got up early and went down to the warehouse to get some records in the basement. There's Adele just chilling.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Down with no makeup on, just hanging out with the guys working down there, just chilling.
This smoking. Is like post
smoking. No, drink coffee because you can't smoke inside.
This is post fame.
Yeah, post fame. Yeah,
is this pre-Grammy.
Pre-Grammy.
Well, pre-Grammy, of course. That just happened.
Yeah, this is pre.
Maybe it was yesterday.
She also came to our Arcade Fire show we played to see us. No, to see the Arcade Fire. We put her on the guest list though.
I like that band, fuck nope. Is that a better Adele impression?
That is an amazing Adele.
I'm a really big fan of this song about David. Because Michelangelo's David is the only way that's what I think about when I'm.
Wow, you're
into a weird.
How was it acid
that King Kong says ever not stop affecting you?
Never
still
stop.
On it. Still on
how was it doing with to me Arcade by Fire?
King Kong.
It was good. It was. They were cool. They were really cool to us. They were super nice to us. They're eccentric people. You know, like Richard's a hardcore kid.
Jeremy Guerra's pretty nice.
Jeremy's right? cool as shit. They're yeah. like, you know, they're just like, when I say eccentric, I mean like I'm just so used to like, you know, I guess people being just idiots on tour, and they're just like very nice and calm and relaxed.
So that to you is eccentric.
That is eccentric.
That's eccentric now. Well, you know, because you're like you've been
Rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly. Rock and roll in like the sense that we're like it's not like you know like there was no hookers backstage and no coke, but right, I mean right. like but you know just like you know just expect people backstage every night like kind of being rambunctious right. or like you know like on that Foo Fighters tour there was people you know not that everyone was partying every night but there was like it was always like a you know.
A bit of a party.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
but whereas this was.
They do live action role playing right before their shows, right?
I will tell you this. Wynn Butler will whip anyone's ass at ping pong and basketball. Right. Both. Yeah, like, there's probably basketball players that can whip his ass.
We played ping pong together, and I mean, we're
terrible.
Terrible.
No, but he is like, you should see him play ping pong. It's like Forrest Gump scenes. And I do not mean that in any other way.
Is he also naming what you can do with shrimp? Well,
yeah, no. No, he is just like the kid. He's a kid. They play ping pong and he plays
That's
basketball
wicked.
Backstage.
I love that. They have tons of stuff.
Oh, it's crazy. And they.
Ping pong.
They like.
Christopher Walken.
And they love music, and it was fun talking hardcore records and talking like
nice.
Old punk stuff with
That's
like,
cool.
you know, those dudes and stuff.
That sounds a lot.
It was just like a lot calmer than I thought it would be backstage.
But I would imagine it in a sense it would be because Arcade Fire have the kind of fans who I assume are all way too scared to talk to them.
Well, yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
and they seem chilled out and way more about like we've created this thing. And we're doing it.
The one thing that I kind of...
Is that your Tom Sharpling?
No, I was just on
you
that
You
sure show.
Kind of dressed like... I know, we were talking about that. You kind of dressed like Tom.
We're actually looking very... I was just in the studio last week, and I was like... Look at Tom, I'm like, oh, God, we have the same... It's like, I mean, he's a good-looking man. Don't get me wrong,
but... You know what? You guys are becoming like Genesis Peorge and his collaborator in Throbbing Gristle.
He asked about you. Tom Sharpling was asking about you.
How's he doing? I sent him an email and he hasn't written back.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Why? Let's not.
Well,
Tom,
I mean, Tom also officially sanctioned this podcast.
He's super busy. He's super busy. That's what I hear. That's what we're talking about. You got a co-sign.
We got a co-sign.
You're part of the FOD.
He did say that. He officially sanctions this. Whatever that means, this podcast is sanctioned by
him. Podcasts that get the official sanction.
No, he hates pod trash.
Yeah.
Well, then there we go.
And you know what? Like, he's like the person that kind of got me into listening to podcasts too,
in a way, because they were podcasting.
I was listening to the podcast, the radio show. Yeah,
right. And that's really the best way to get into podcasting. Is just you kind of go, oh, you can get an archive of something
and just start. Like, you know, you don't have to start at the current one. You can kind of work your way in.
Yeah, I
don't. Like, if you're jumping in on the first, this is your first time listening to me, you should hear the first interview. We totally said all this stuff.
So crazy.
Totally said all this stuff.
Damien's Jackie Chan impression must be heard to be believed about how racist
it is. So racist.
But
the Arcade Fire guys were great to tour with.
Yeah, because JC in our band, he is like the biggest Arcade Fire fan. He loves it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's been trying to get me into it the way he tried to get me into Radiohead for years.
Yeah, I never got into Radiohead.
And then one day I was in someone's car and I was like, what is this? This is amazing. And it was The Bends by Radiohead. And since then I've been a fan. So
Arcade Fire.
Yeah, Radiohead.
Oh, okay.
And then this Arcade Fire thing, it's more like, with the Arcade Fire and me, it's more like the fans rather than the band. I kind of get turned off pretentious.
It's hard also in Toronto.
But aren't Sonic Youth basically the same?
Oh, it would have been the same at the time.
Yeah.
You know what it would have been.
You know what definitely. I mean? Like, imagine you went to like see Sonic Youth on like the Washington.
But I'll tell you this, like,
maybe you did it.
It's hard. But it's hard when you're in Toronto or in Canada to separate these bands from seeing them come up and seeing the people that hang around with them or the bands they came from.
Getting mad but that, like, someone's getting popular and not being able to explain to yourself why you feel that way.
But seeing the Arcade Fire, like, the first day of that tour in it was like Madrid, it's like 32,000 kids singing along to their lyrics that have no attachment to any indie rock BS. Like, they've never been on the 20 Hertz message board in their lives, you know? Back in the day, I mean. But, you know, so it's just, like, so weird to think.
R.I.P. Mike Harland.
This stuff is so much bigger now, you know? Like, right. Like playing with you guys in Europe and seeing you guys in Europe and stuff. It's like, oh, it's so much bigger than, you know, because you can't. It's hard to separate it from, like, oh, like, you know, bands that you're from your local scene, and then you see it in the, and you're like, oh, this is so much bigger than.
But it's
that.
The same thing, yeah. It's just true of almost like any band. Probably you guys, you know, if someone's like, man, fucked up. It's like,
I'm very defensive, and during this podcast, people can kind of feel that. But I'm very defensive about like indie rock bands and stuff, because over the years, like we've taken our share of tags from them. And it, you know, now I get this knee-jerk defensive reaction when I, you know.
They were really cool people. Well, there's all like, you know, like Richard was like going to hardcore shows and like Who's Emma, you know, and stuff like in Toronto. And, right. And they're super nice guys. Everyone in the band's super cool. And like the weird thing is like they're like, yeah, when they were soundcheck, they do like Jane's Addiction songs.
But seriously, like, did you get Swinger vibes?
No Swinger vibes. Never wanted to swing. None of them ever wanted to swing. I will say this, like, it was, nobody was, they were not, like, when I say they're tame, like, we are the tamest band in the world backstage.
We might have you beat.
With the exception of who?
Me and Sandy.
You and Sandy, you're both freaking out, doing handstands.
No, just pot, but.
Bong rips.
Yeah, but we're like, you know, that's the only
Jonah's thing. Like.
Once in a while, Jonah get wasted. Once in a while, someone get drunk. But like, we're pretty calm, and they're just as calm as us. And that's why it was weird. Because like,
I love it. That sounds amazing.
When we're normally on tour with bands, we're like the ones that all the bands are like, "What's your band's problem?"
But you know, the problem.
Yeah,
I found the problem with touring isn't necessarily always, you know, what the band is like, you know, on tour during the show. It's actually like when you get to the show. How shoddy is the condition of the show? Is there a backstage or are you wandering around the front, you know?
One day we're on tour with the Foo Fighters playing 40,000 people. Yeah. The next day we're playing, you know, to 15.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Because a lot of tour... If you're doing an American tour...
Yeah, it's like...
And you're playing secondary
markets.
So
you're
saying
the best part is the Foo Fighters part?
No. Come on. The best part is when you're in, like, Lafayette, Indiana playing to the... The 10 diehards, and they're
right.
Just
that is
trying
so
to
much better
you
than a 5-star hotel, a chauffeur ride to and from the
you
show.
Don't need that
insane catering and a stage back. No. I honestly
want a guy in Indiana being like
the show itself. Yeah. The show itself is like what matters. Like when you
of
and
course,
the show can
yeah,
be
yeah.
you know terrible in front of, like, the first time we ever played with the Foo Fighters in Toronto, I did not have a good time. Uh-huh. It was a rough show for us. And then second night, I think I figured it out a little more. And then by the end of these, by these shows on this tour, I think I had it. I knew what our role was and I knew what I had to do. And that was,
what did you have to do?
You know, you just go out there and you fill the time. You entertain the audience. Yeah. And you're just there.
Not there to see you, man.
Yeah. No, they're not there to see you. So all you can hope to do is leave an impression. And that's what we would do.
So
we would
tell a couple jokes.
Tell jokes, run around the crowd, pick people up, drink beers.
Show them your baby.
Show my tummy. No, I would not show my child. Put my kid up on the Jumbotron, please, for a second. This is who you're supporting when you support our band.
We have t-shirts for sale.
You know what the next cover of a Fucked Up album should be?
Just our kids?
No, it should be like the Time magazine cover with the breastfeeding mother. And except you're suckling at the boob, and it's the Statue of Liberty.
Whoa.
I think that would be the greatest.
That's your next comedy cover. And you could call it
Liberty Sucks.
They just need to remove the record.
That's your album cover, dude.
I should do that.
You just designed your own cover.
I don't know how I did that.
Then wouldn't it be Liberty Sucking on your nipple?
I don't want to talk about it anymore. That riff is closed. I'm not a yes and. I'm not a yes and kind of improviser. I've realized I'm a no but.
No.
No but.
Actually.
I saw Arcade Fire on Saturday Night Live last week with fucking singing with Mick Jagger. I was just like,
well, yo, you know, seeing them with the Foo Fighters was like seeing like a beat up old Pinto with a 747 engine in it.
Who? Yeah, seeing who with the Foo Fighters?
Mick Jagger. Like, he could not keep up. It was like,
the Foos are so phenomenal.
It's crazy. It's like three guitars. Like, you know, like obviously now the Stones set is so perfectly set up for each of their strengths to come through and show through.
Exactly.
So, like, seeing him like that with the Arcade Fire, you could tell it was like super twee and restrained, but with the Foo Fighters, it was like,
you can't really run.
I think he did a great job with Arcade Fire.
I think he did too, because it was like,
and at the end of the song, I was just like, at the beginning, I was like, oh, I want to do that. And then at the end, I was just like, all right.
It would be with him, with you guys. I think it would be much the same with him and the Foo Fighters. Like, it's just like
too rockin'.
He can't front a rock band.
Oh, I'll flub every guitar line. It's Jagger standing right next to me. I'm impressed that the Arcade Fire dudes were able to like pull that off without. I would fuck it up, man.
I don't know, Mick Jagger to me, like, I think maybe I love the Stones, but I think to me they're so omnipresent in my life that
you'd almost be comfortable.
It wouldn't. I don't think it phased me.
Yeah, I hear you.
It phased me a lot more to be around like some other people, like to be around dudes when I'm like, oh, that guy played in this band. The person that freaked me out the most to be around in the Foo Fighters wasn't Dave Grohl. It was Nate, the bass player, because he was in Brotherhood. The Straight Edge hardcore band.
Oh.
And he wasn't the Straight Edge. He wasn't allowed to tour.
You're not even referencing Sunny Day.
No, and Sunny Day was never meant anything, but Brotherhood meant the world to me as a kid. It still means the world to me. I love that band to death.
I'll tell you what, that Foo Fighters documentary, riveting.
It's an amazing documentary.
I love it.
Oh.
And I've
seen it twice.
I was like, I had no idea it was so difficult being in the Foo Fighters.
difficult being in like the biggest band in the world.
Yeah. Well, it goes to show like there's no, here's, I'm now kind of coming to the realization that I'm living every dream I ever had. It's right now, I'm living all the dreams. Like, this is all I wanted.
Even the one where you're at school naked?
Yeah, I can do that right now. I would be arrested for it, but I could do that right now if I wanted to. But like, I'm living it like, and so like, it's weird because you still find shit that is wrong and bad, and you still get upset, and you still get in arguments with people and
problems. Strife. Problems never cease.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's gonna be the post fucked up band with you and me, double vocals. Problems never cease, and we're gonna be
a la Killer Elite.
Yeah,
Nick Flanagan's other band.
No, but this is gonna be more a la Alex is a Fire.
That was like. You know what it was? Killer Elite is to Teen Crunk Combo what Countdown to Oblivion was to the Swarm. The lesser vocal, the one that like the vocalist from the super shit hot band at the time is also in another band that everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's in another band with another guy singing too. No disrespect, because I love everyone in
Burning
Countdown.
Mike Gribben. But burning Steve Perry.
Burning everyone.
Burning everything.
I love Steve Perry.
I love Steve Perry,
man.
Too, but I'm just saying.
Reducing
like,
interested listeners to three.
I never thought about that till now. Well, though, Swarm became Cursed, and Cursed is one of those bands that wherever you
I
play.
I actually kind of loved the Swarm a little bit.
Oh, me
I just,
too.
The only thing I had with the Swarm was sometimes Chris's, like, between song banter was, like, intensely long.
Well, that's the thing, and that was that time. You know,
it was
the 90s.
That time, but also like, I don't remember that happening in Countdown, and I don't remember that even, obviously, later on with Cursed. It happened a little, but not...
The most ridiculous speeching I've ever seen in a show was No Warning playing open for the Ruination, which was Mike from Fucked Up before Fucked Up.
Was it Callahan?
And Callahan in it, and Andy Demps.
Jamie Towns.
And then They Live played, and then Tragedy played. Tragedy was headlining, nice. Yeah. And it was in a loft space, Pickle's loft. Down and anyway,
what was the speech?
The speech thing was like about No Warning, and Ruination was trading speech. They were like, "Let me speak on this for a second, Chris." And he'd be like, "Okay, Andy." He'd be like, "All right." Oh. So the thing you gotta understand about this band, No Warning, is they suck and they're a bunch of jerks and blah blah blah. And they're like, "All right, I'm gonna toss it back to my man Chris. He's gonna say some more words about this." thanks, Andy. All right. Furthermore, about No Warning, and it was just like, "Oh, come on. There's a time for speeches." Like, you
awesome.
Know. The only guy I think that could get away with it is Martin from Los Crudos. Yeah. His speeches longer than the songs, but they'd like amp you up so much that you'd just be like ready for that song to kick in.
This is like a totally unrelated thing, and here I am.
What were your speeches like, Nick?
Fucking hilarious. They were awesome. I was
some
like,
of the Teen
great
speeches were amazing.
Yeah, I totally did it. That was the thing about the band, was people were stoked. I wasn't even a comedian at that time, so I think I did good.
You did.
I was better at song banter with Teen Court Combo than with Brutal Nights, but that was because with Brutal Nights, I was like, I don't even need to do that much song banter.
There
was
one night, you know, one time I saw Teen Cred Combo, which is Nick's old band, at the...
I would say they're one of the greatest unknown bands from Toronto.
Yeah,
you
I would too.
Just too nice about this.
No, but I think about that. Like, it's like one of the bands, like a lot of bands, you know, have gone on to other things, but that's one band that, like, you know, because I guess because the 7-inch and the LP came out so much after the fact that, like, you know, but it was just like at the time in Toronto, like, everyone was like, so you guys were like,
it took a while get people. I mean, I remember our first show was I don't even remember who it was with, but I remember JC from Danko came to the show, and it was like our second show, but after the show I was like walking back to the TDC with John, and he was just like, he couldn't say anything because he couldn't say anything nice. So he's just like, it was like an awkward one. You know?
Maybe that was just you thinking that.
No, man, we sucked at first. I mean, of course, it was like our second show.
I remember this one time I saw Teen Crud at the Elma Combo. You play downstairs, and at the time, Robin Black and the Intergalactic Rockstars were around.
That was a classic.
Classic feud. Speaking of feuds.
Feuds, yeah.
Nick.
I mean, they had so many feuds, though. Brutal Nights. I mean, Teen Cred Combo versus Deadly Snakes.
Yeah, but that was also Killer Elite.
Yeah, that was also a good
versus Deadly Snakes. But, I mean, yeah, there was. And that wound up being nothing. But anyway, what were we going to say about...
Well, you got on stage dressed up like Robin Black, which is hilarious.
It was a Halloween show.
But the only thing is, Robin Black was right in front of you. And I guess the only person he knew in the crowd was me. And Robin came up to me and he goes, "Is he making fun of me?" And I go, "I don't know. I can't hear you."
Right. I mean, we were.
No, you totally
were. We
were
all 18 and 19, and they were a glam. They were an attempt at glam rock that had... musically, I could not relate it to like glam rock, so it was just very strange. And they had the attitude, and the band had his band was called the Rockstars,
which I found, oh my god,
why would you put the word Rockstars in the name of your band?
That's what I was saying.
It's one of those things, if you keep repeating it enough, then maybe people believe it.
Well, but they were called Intergalactic or Rockstars.
Intergalactic.
So it's like are you going to eventually believe they're Intergalactic?
Wouldn't it
be cool if they played this song Intergalactic?
I kept saying if they ever do a tour, which Intergalactic Rockstars should, they would do it in a van. I mean, how intergalactic is that?
Right.
Well, they
goes to warp speed though. If you hit the button.
Well, there's a huge tradition. Like question mark thinks he's from outer space from question mark and the Mysterians and
Sun Ra.
But these guys,
Sun Ra.
Yeah, but those are big questions.
Just tapping into Zolar X, you know, from LA's obscure glam rock band. For
right.
The,
cool Keith.
Cool Keith. You know.
That's all the referencing. I don't feel like they.
Just because it's over your head.
Their album was called Planet Fame, so I'm assuming that the intergalactic part meant that they had come to Earth from Planet Fame.
It's funny though. I was never a huge Robin Black fan,
really?
at all. But I do enjoy his commentary now in mixed martial arts.
Yes,
he's become Canada's Joe Rogan, right?
Well, yeah, I find he's definitely not as loud as Joe Rogan, but I think he's great. He knows his stuff, and he's like, you know, it's amazing. Well, how people transition and you're like,
maybe wheelhouse. That's his true calling.
He's found his wheelhouse, folks. The house on wheels, he's in it, and it is an MMA octagon.
There's a lot of beefs that were started. Your band had a beef with my band, Nick.
Really? First of all, I just like to say, I think. I feel like my
Nick's
circle
a little shit disturbing.
If my circle of friends, I'm not.
There was also a drummer in that band that liked to cause a bit of shit too.
In what? Killer Lee?
No, in Teen Crook
Combat. Oh no, I'm cool with Mark.
No, but I'm just saying Mark was the dude that was like, yeah, fuck the Deadly Snakes to me.
Right. I mean,
they suck. Don't like them.
I was just gonna say my circle of friends is just seems like if they were in a room together, it would quickly descend into like a brawl or whatever. Like it's one of those things where I know these people from such disparate situations that like they couldn't get along, you know. And that was definitely like an early thing of that. Well, the Danko Jones thing that he's talking about was where like the other singer in a band I was in an article just like got totally blindsided. Danko Jones with an insult and Deadly Snakes out of nowhere, and it got printed, and then I think these guys were like, we know this dude. Why is he insulting us?
Like, Mike
very
Griffin was the singer.
What was his other band before?
Grasshopper.
And Goat Dance. Don't forget Goat Dance.
Goat Dance.
I championed when I had a radio show, and he was even on it, and then I don't see him for a few years. The guy gets married, has a kid, comes on stage with Nick and starts fucking talking shit. And then I would go into record stores or music stores and the people behind the counter would be like, you know, Mike was just here. He was talking shit about you. And I saw Killer Elite where he was talking shit on stage. And it's always been that, like that. Whether it's Sunset Rubdown or the Killer Elite or any other band, it's always been them taking a shot at us. I never, as a policy, I do not talk shit about other bands in the press or on the air. It's just a policy.
Did we talk about this last time we were here?
I do. I talk shit on both.
Oh, when you were starting, I felt like maybe you were taking a cue from Damian. The Teen Crud Combo from the being bad and wrestling.
Yeah.
When I see you live and I see how you are on the air and how you are in public, I go, that guy is saying what I'm thinking, but my policy doesn't allow me to say it.
Well, I think that's like a better policy to have. My thing is also it's just policy. Like if I'm not saying something and I feel like now that I'm in this position like where people can pay attention to what I'm saying, if I'm not saying something, I feel like I have to. Like I'm like
I feel the same way as you, man.
We live in this time where like and myself included, like the moral compass is gone. Like no one's buying records, so. It's fair game as far as like money coming from other places, you know, and fair enough. Like that money, you know, Maryland's Vitamins was going to have a tape that was going to come out, and it was like Vans don't run on good intentions, and records aren't pressed with hugs, and it's true. It's like you know, like if you want to do this band thing, it costs money, and like that,
you literally have to give everything. Oral sex around you if you want to be in a band.
So, and it's gotten to the point where, like, you know, like, you see in videos now, it's crazy the stuff that you see. Like, it's crazy the product placement and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, fair game, but I just think people need to know about it.
Someone told me a story about someone wanting to be in a band and the band was sort of getting off the ground and they wound up, but they weren't making that much attention, but a record executive sort of went and saw their show and was like, you know, they had a pretty lead singer lady and he's like, look, guys, I don't really like your sound. I kind of like you, lady, and I think what I want you to do is go into the studio, record a song, and use words like party till the end of time. He's like, we're trying to get these phrases going.
Yeah.
At our label, yeah, as these sort of things. So record a song with that, and if it's all right, maybe we can do something with it.
Well, you know, dude, so, I had that happen with us. Mm-hmm. We met with a label in Toronto, and the guy goes, you know what's really would be awesome for your band is if you get on the iPod commercial.
Yeah.
So what you guys need to do is write a song that's got like words like rip and burn. Like and we just nodded our head politely.
When he left,
we couldn't believe that it had come to that, or he actually said that to
us. Well, that's what it's all about now, right? Like, it's all about sync.
I guess it is.
Like, look at
placement.
Yeah,
and
like
sync.
Spoon, that band is like a prime example, and this is like. And I'm not faulting them for this, but they were signed to a major label.
Mm-hmm.
They left Matador, got signed to a major label, got dropped because the record tanked. Got signed to Merge, released a record, sold a couple songs to car commercials, and now they're huge, you know. Yeah. And they got themselves to like the next level. Like, I don't know if I could do it.
But if it's a happy accident that you write a song where a car company goes, oh, the wheels are spinning. Oh, we'll use that song. But if you tailor make a song for a commercial, I think that's pretty low.
I think this is why I get upset with like some of the stuff that's popular, very popular right now, that just seems so egregiously effort-free and pretty much like the thing about Kesha, it seems like it's really just the lowest denominator of using phrases that are
really popular.
I mean, you know.
People always say to me about much music, like, they don't play music anymore, they must hate music there, and it's like, no, like it's a TV thing, and that's dictated by ratings, and there's people there that love music and talk about music probably more than I do, right. You know, like, and it's not always the type of music that I like and listen to, but like you know, this is TV, it's not.
I mean, the same thing happened with MTV in America, where there was MTV, and then I guess much more music sort of occupied initially where the videos stayed. Wound up going, like, playing more videos. Now there's less of that on much more music. But for the same reason, the VH1 is not videos anymore either. Like, it's all just... And we don't really have an MTV2, but we do have these specialty channels that do show music videos.
And people consume music videos in a different way than they used to, right? Like,
they watch them YouTube online.
Yeah, you don't sit there like we used to and be like, oh my God, I hope they play Red Hot Chili
Peppers.
You have
a much music video dance party when you have your friends over and you play a bunch of music videos off YouTube.
Yeah.
And you try to skip the damn commercials that you can't skip before on Vivo.
Yeah, but like also the thing is like, and
I. Wow, you actually did that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird to be in that situation where you have someone like Katy Perry who, you know, made this video that has a lot of military themes in it. You know, like it's very much in pro-Marines. And I think, you know, like, we live in a time where the Marines have cooperated. I'm not making any accusations about the funding or anything like that, but, like, you know, there's an implied, you know, promotion.
Yeah.
What she's doing. And I think, as an artist, you owe it to your fans to admit that you're promoting something outright. Or to admit that there's like some sort of promotion thing involved, or to be honest with them about the realities of what war is. Like, yeah, like, you know, no disrespect to people that choose to fight and die, but the people are fighting and dying.
But it's
not a breakup motivation.
I think she has a bigger responsibility considering her demographic.
And that's like, like, you look at the places military officers recruit, and once again, this is not. I just want people to play fair. Like, that's my thing. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, if you want to choose and serve in the military, that's more power to you. But I just want people to do it fair. And if you look at where the military recruits, it's like the Warped Tour. You know, it's like they're
do they?
Yeah, there's Warped Tour recruitment offices.
How does what's his face allow that?
Fat Mike.
No, not Fat Mike. The other.
He says his thing is that
Brett Gurry.
But he, one thing. No. What's his name?
The guy what's his who name?
Promotes it. Green is the last.
He's
one
got right? glasses, and they just. I just saw the Vans Warped Tour movie.
But he's like, he's real cool. His thing is that everyone has a platform, and if they choose to pay,
so
to
you'll
be
have
on
PETA,
and
you'll also have
like,
the Army.
Well, there's a story that Rise Against, like Rise Against, were like, don't sign up, like, you know what's going on, blah blah. And they were like, that band should be kicked off the tour. And he's like, no, you have your say. They have their say.
Okay, well, then that's
fair. Kevin Lyman, that's his name.
Kevin Lyman. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, as much as there's certain moral things happening, I feel in the States the go-to opinion is support our troops, even if you don't support the war, support our military, support our military. So it's almost like something like that. Katy Perry stuff, which I haven't seen, so I don't know the extent.
I haven't seen it either, so I can't really
comment on it. But I feel like that has become probably tacitly accepted. I mean, Green Day had that whole thing with the army,
but that was like
that was more poignant.
And I think that also, Green Day had opened to whatever.
Cher wore the pussy lingerie on the tanker or whatever in the late 80s. Oh, that probably got a few people joining them. Navy.
It was her butt. You could see her butt.
Oh, Cher.
I feel like it was pretty.
No, it was her butt. She had two tattoos on her ass cheeks. That was the big deal.
Yeah. Pretty skimpy.
The poor kids are like, Cher showed her vagina on a boat.
I haven't seen the video. So
well, I think
but
you saw that Cher video, right?
But I don't think there's anything wrong with Cher performing for the troops.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with someone choosing to perform. I think there's like a. There's the storyline of the video, you know, and I'm not saying you don't have the right to do this video. You have the right to do whatever the hell you want as an artist, but I think everyone has the right to call you on it, and that's the way it works. I'm also not anti-tobacco advertising. Like, if you choose a tobacco company, choose to advertise, but they're fair game if someone chooses to take down that advertisement or, like, something like that. Like,
right.
I think, like, that's the way it could work, you know?
Yeah,
And maybe not the way it should work, but that's the way it could work. And so in this video, the storyline is... her boyfriend cheats on her. She breaks up with her boyfriend. Season thing to enroll in the army. Goes in the bathroom. Cuts off her hair. Straps down her boobs. In the Marines. Enrolls in the Marines. And then goes through recruitment. And then gets strong enough. And then her boyfriend calls her. Or writes her a letter. And she just crumples it up and throws it away. And now
it's
she's
like a G.I. Jane almost.
It's like a strong... Yeah. And it's like a Nike commercial. Like, like in the end. And it's like...
Well, which it's pretty strong.
Which, you know... That doesn't show the other side. That it's like... It's not a pleasant place to necessarily be. And I think if you ask anyone over there, they will, you know, any of those troops, I'm sure there will be some that will say they're happy to be over there, proud to be there. I don't think anyone will say it's a very pleasant place to be.
It would be like someone who's, you know, a video where someone, their boyfriend has bad teeth and he breaks up with her and then she becomes he goes to dentist school and she becomes a dentist and then one day he comes in to get his teeth fixed and she's like, no. Right? And that was
the same as dentistry.
Not really the same thing at all.
They don't show
the hours of studying.
Right. And just like looking in mouths for so long and the sharp objects.
But I think it's one of those things. Yeah, like I just think, and you know, like we've taken money from all sorts of places. Not
nice.
Red Bull, Nike, like these places like have sponsored things that we've
played.
Lockheed
Martin.
And I think that's the reality. Like, and I just thought bands should be honest, you know?
Right.
And like,
we're total full disclosure too.
Yeah, that's what I think. And I think if you're just full disclosure, that's my thing is like.
I got to sleep at night, man, and I got to look at myself in the morning in the mirror.
So you're saying Katy Perry, there's something.
We're just saying we're not Brutal Knights selling our songs to Mitt Romney's campaign, you know?
We would never. We're pure Santorum. I actually emailed a lot of funny novelty songs to Rick Santorum's campaign. Never heard back. Maybe he'd still be in the race if he used one of my many...
Too fat.
Hate limericks.
So fat. So fat, sorry.
Well, I think I tweeted you. I think you were retweeting a barrage of hate tweets from Katy Perry fans. And I really didn't know the nub of where this was coming from. But I think I tweeted you going, I just support Damien. I don't know what's going on.
You were one of the first big supporters I had.
And whatever side he's on,
fun,
I'm on.
It was a fun day when all those tweets came in. Because I don't. Like people are like, oh, these kids are making death threats, like blah blah blah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but it's like it's a kid, you know. And
right. I see.
And it's but it's also weird to think that I don't like people are like, oh, there's like fans like this all the time, you know. But
have you seen Children of the Corn?
Yeah,
could be bad.
But like, I don't remember when we were younger. I don't remember anyone being that fanatical about one band.
Come on,
you know, one artist,
Nirvana.
Maybe Nirvana. Maybe
that fanatical.
You know, like you would be like you couldn't see like. Like, you know, like someone said they didn't like the Chili Peppers. Pantera
but
and Nirvana.
But you just didn't have that social media aspect. Yeah, that's true. It was arriving quickly. You know, you weren't
the
probably
anonymity of it too.
Like, well, I feel bad because like this is the one thing musicians are going to let you the fuck down. Ultimately, they will let you down. If you were like, I love Twisted Sister. I'm going to write a letter. Like, I will kill you, Tipper Gore, unless you stop persecuting Twisted Sister for their lyrics, right? Mm-hmm. And then you see Dee Snider on The Celebrity Apprentice this week singing with Debbie Gibson.
I saw that.
Yeah. So artists, musicians are going to let you down because they're human beings, and human beings are going to let you down, you know? Like,
Dee Snider, Twisted Sister are going to let you down.
I don't like, watch
by
that.
The if, you're, track
if, you're,
on
if you're the
State
guy
Hungry.
In that Slayer video who carved Slayer into your arm,
right?
And then you're watching them play with, you're watching Kerry King come out and or what's the face come out bust the solo with Sum 41. You're not going to be bummed out as shit. You're not going to be playing like, no. Oh my God, I have this carved in my arm forever. You know, like that's musicians let you down. Like that's the thing that they do because they're human beings. And like,
so how are you letting down? Do you ever get hate mail? Someone says like,
well, no, I got hate tweets.
Yeah, I mean,
but,
I'm not
but
not uneducated
like
ones that are
fucked up ones.
Yeah. So yeah. Someone will be like, I can't believe you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you must. Cause
Max
you,
rock and roll.
Still?
Yeah, but not anymore.
I'll like, wear that like a fucking badge of honor.
No, I kind of think like that's the way these things, that's the way punk survives, right? And hardcore survives is because it keeps it so pure, you know? Like it keeps it, you know, you never let a band get too big because that's going to co-opt it. Like that's why you don't have the vibrant underground swing community. I now listen to like 18 hours of wrestling podcasts.
I stopped listening to music. It's all just podcasts. I've got to start listening to music again.
Let me tell you, the Pro Wrestling Torch has a daily hour-long podcast. Perfectly timed for it's like a different rotating host series, but then also like the live audio wrestling and like Smart Wrestling Fan.
Is
and,
the Mouth still doing live audio wrestling?
He is. And I was a guest yesterday on their podcast.
Awesome. Trish Stratus, you ever meet her?
No, she's not on the show anymore.
Oh,
she went on to bigger and better things.
Can you
things.
Imagine?
Are you going to do a wrestling
I'd like to go on to
podcast?
Her bigger and better
I
want to
do a wrestling podcast still.
I
want to
be on it.
I want you to be on it.
I want to be on it.
I want you to be on it too. I know you did two songs on a record. Well, one.
One was about wrestling.
One wasn't, but they had the same name.
Titles.
We were on one of the WWE pay
the
TV.
Music
yeah, the music.
Yeah, you guys provided the
Jerry Lawler.
Talked about it.
He threw to us. He goes, Dago Jones with Baby Hates Me.
So man. Amazing.
That's not my Jerry Lawler.
Did you guys play live?
No, it was just in the page. Because
this guy I know who works for the Foo Fighters toured, like Limp Bizkit played live a couple times, and he used to be Limp Bizkit's drum tech. And
did he ever see Borland?
He ended up dating Stephanie McMahon.
No way.
No way.
Yeah, real deal.
Stephanie McMahon, who
is married
away
to Triple X.
Hunter
right?
Hurst,
Triple H.
He took away Hunter Hearst Helmsley from
Are you
China.
Thinking of the China adult parody porn?
Oh, God.
I'm just thinking of porn or something.
You know China is like fully doing
porn
now, right?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I mean, I've seen stills of it. I haven't seen the movie.
But she also
she's
doing what?
She's collapsed and she was at an event.
And you know they're making Avengers Triple X now, too.
Is she going to be
she
in
plays
it?
She-Hulk.
Oh, who's not a character in
right,
the Avengers.
Right,
because they were like... We want you to
Nick
play
is
Hulk.
Like, Nick is like,
I'm getting confused.
I was really hoping this was going to be exactly like the movie, but with hardcore sex.
I miss when porno parodies of existing movies and TV shows were a little imaginative and like they would just change a word in the thing instead of just adding triple X or not to the beginning of
well,
it.
No,
remember
it
Edward
hardcore
Penis
parody.
Hands, Edward Penis Hands, and of course my favorite. They were both in Suspect Video. Video store near my house. I don't know why. Go do it if you're in Toronto. And
Triller.
But my favorite was Married with Hormones.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was really vague as a porno title.
This has been Nick's Pornography Corner.
You know, my Pornography Corner. What pornos do you guys like?
Okay.
It's so dark.
This is like the end of the Transformers movie.
Let's execute ourselves. I don't like.
But yeah, man. I mean, whenever you get that podcast up and running, I want to
have you both on.
Sure.
Love
we should
to.
Do a. I might do a Triple X porno.
I had CM Punk podcast. On the Wedge.
Right. You're saying.
Cool. It was good. It was okay.
It was good. Like I just. It was the first time I've ever been like that shook. meeting
someone. Oh, he starstruck you.
I was totally starstruck. I was totally starstruck. And like, I think I expected, because I've had so much good luck lately with meeting someone famous. And I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be my friend now. And I just forced him to be my friend.
You hit him. You hit it off.
Not with CM Punk. He was like, at the end, he's like, all right, see you later, man. And I'm like, okay, see ya. Yeah. Like, he just like wasn't like, you know, and then like, nothing against him. Like, I wasn't like I'm pissed off you didn't want to be my friend. But like, it still was just like, I'll see ya.
Yeah. Next time, you know?
Next time.
You need that thing that sparks their interest, right?
Well, I thought it was going to be our shared interest in punk rock music, but apparently.
Did he care about that?
He did, yeah. Oh, he's a legit hardcore dude. He goes to shows and stuff, but I think he's got different tastes in music than I do.
Like, what's his favorite hardcore band?
H2O, he's a huge fan of Rancid. Gotcha. I love both of those bands, too, but I don't think he's that into, like, I wanted to nerd out with him about obscure Chicago...
Yeah.
You know, hardcore bands from like the early 80s and late 80s and
stuff.
But
he was sort of ready to be like, you know.
He did call it Screeching Weasel.
Called them out. He said Ben Weasel's woman.
He said, I would fight with Ben Weasel. Because he called it Chris Brown. And Chris Brown like answered him back and was like, yeah, what are you going to do? You're a fake fighter, blah, blah, blah. And then CM Punk did this video and he's like, I will fight you legitimately. I will fight you under your rules. Awesome. We'll give the money to charity. To a women's shelter, but I would love to fight you for real. And then, I was like, I know you call it Chris Brown. What about, you know, we started talking about Ben Weasel. Okay. So you got to fight Ben Weasel.
What about Phil Spector? I think he'd fight.
I think he'd probably kill Phil Spector, unless Phil Spector had his gun, because he's pretty good with that. I mean, bad with that.
We should get Phil Spector on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
We should do some live from prison. These are my dream people: Phil Spector,
Manson.
Yeah, Shirley Manson. And all right, now Merle Allen. Imagine all the questions you could ask.
You know who's actually got amazing Gigi Allen stories? Gerard from Matador, because he played with Gigi Allen.
Oh, he did.
He was in the band for a while, and so was Chris Lombardi for one show.
Wow!
But they backed up Gigi Allen for a while. He's got crazy stories about going to shows and like Gigi taking laxatives and shitting all over his clothes and getting thrown out of the club and being naked in the middle of winter.
Right.
And none of them being like, you can't come in my car, you're covered in shit. I'm not going to give you a ride home.
Yeah. So he just walked
home. Take the bus.
Naked?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Covered in poo.
Well, I mean, the story of his last show is just... I think I read the recap of his last show.
You never watched it? You didn't watch it.
Sorry. It's on YouTube?
No. Yeah, it's on YouTube, but it's also it's an extra on Hated.
Oh, maybe I did watch it a long time
ago. Where it's just him wandering.
But I might have actually seen Hated, like, on VHS. It was that long ago that I saw it.
It's on YouTube for free now. I watched it the other day on YouTube. I have it on DVD.
I think Todd Phillips put a lot of his things, because I watched that frat documentary
he did. That's on Google.
Was it on Google?
Yeah.
I watched it on YouTube.
I think YouTube owns, or Google owns YouTube now, right?
Let's talk a bit more about the different video players you can watch things on. What do you guys think of Vimeo? You like Vimeo?
Okay, we got to end this. He's got Damien's got to go do. To Much Music. Yeah.
I got to do work.
You got to go to work, man.
We missed it.
Five after 12.
Oh, we do. Well, thank you guys. I'll have to come on again.
Anytime.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddies.
Thank you.
Yay. We'll have to shake hands. We've been talking 2 seconds.